Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study of Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, titled, The Inheritance of the Saints in Light. This is part 2 of 2.
And then the thing that God came that same way. God became a baby in the person of Jesus Christ. That same way. And he only did it for one reason. He didn't need to do it. He did it to save you. He came as that little baby so he could grow up and lay down his life. No man took it from him. The Jews didn't kill Jesus. Jesus gave his own life. Only in a legal sense, by the permission of God, did the Romans kill Jesus and the Jews kill Jesus. And in reality, every sinner who ever lived killed Jesus. Because that's what put him on the cross, was our sin. The reason Jesus laid down his life is because he had to save you. Now, being a child of God is limited. Did you know that? Today, everybody just wants to say, oh, we're all children of God except for Hitler and a few really bad people. That's how it's preached. I mean, other than Hitler and some really bad people, we're all children of God and we're all going to heaven. No, that's not true. The Bible makes it clear, as we've already shown, none of us are the children of God until we're born again. It's limited. Look at John 1. You're out John 3. Just turn a page or two, most Bibles, and you'll be there. John chapter 1, beginning of verse 12. And this explains the only people who can be children of God, according to this. This is John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. Read that with me. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, remembering what we read in John 3, now read verse 13. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's being born again. And God says anyone can be born again. But you must be willing. You must repent toward God. You must say, you know what? I have been holding on to this or that reason. I think God's going to let me into heaven because I'm just an all-around good guy. You know, people just like me. Or then some people say, well, I'm not a great guy, but you know, I'm a member of that church down there. And I got baptized when I was a baby. Or I got baptized as an adult or whatever. And I go to church and they all call me brother or sister, so I must be okay. That's not the Bible says ye must be born again. That means you have to have had a time in your life when you recognize I'm a lost sinner. I don't deserve heaven. I deserve hell. But I recognize that God himself in the person of Jesus Christ died on that cross, shed his blood, paid for all of my sins, and they buried him, but he rose again from the grave. He conquered sin by rising from the dead. He conquered death by rising from the dead. He proved that he is God Almighty and that he alone can forgive your sin. He can only God can pay for your sin.
Right. Amen.
And I believe that.
Amen.
I believe that. Then you're saved.
Amen.
Somebody might have convinced you need to jump through some hoops or do this or that. They're liars. They're wrong.
Amen.
That's where your relationship with Jesus begins, is the moment you are saved by faith in that gospel, how that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That moment you're saved. Now it's about you and your Father.
Amen.
Now you're a child of God. Now you can talk to the Father as a child. But only born again children of God are partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You see where Paul's taking us? Phrase by phrase, down that. He's helping us to understand why we're saved, so that we'll be thankful for being saved. And in our thanksgiving, understanding that it's all God, not us. not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. See, it's all Him. God did the work. God paid the price on the cross. God rose from the dead. God then saves you the moment you believe. God regenerates you. God's Spirit comes into you. God writes your name in the book of life. You ain't got a thing to do with it.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that wonderful? And because that alone is what makes you a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. If you are a born-again child of God, you are assigned an inheritance. Did you know that? Now, to some people, because they're very limited in their growth, because they're very limited in their desire to grow, they just say, as long as I'm going to heaven, that's all I care about. And it's true. If you're saved, you're saved. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. But what the Bible also says, our mind has not imagined. Our eyes have not seen. I mean, we cannot even think about what is ahead. But we are told that there is reward. And there is loss of reward. So you, once you get saved, that's not the end of it if you have any sense about you at all. Is you not only want to be saved, but you don't want to go to heaven with empty hands, as they say. You don't want to stand before the Lord with nothing to show and to be one of those saved so as by fire. We have taught on the inheritance previously. We were in Ephesians 1, 11 and 12 and Ephesians 5, 5 and 8. So I'm not going to get into the particulars of the inheritance. We've covered that before. For the remainder of this study, I want to focus on the meaning of that phrase, inheritance of the saints in light. That phrase, saints in light. You see, we have an inheritance, and it begins with who you are and who you are going to be in eternity. I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to prove it from Scripture. You can look around, everybody in the room. And have you seen that commercial, Bada Bing, Bada Boom?
Yeah, Bada Book.
Bada Book, yeah. Is it Bada Bing, Bada Book? Is that how it goes?
Yeah,
Bada Bing. And they have the one guy who comes up with the idea that, you know, well, if you use our service, you'll glow. You seen that one? Mm-hmm. And the guy says, just say Bada Bing, Bada Book. And the one guy's standing there, and he says, people don't glow. He's like, he gets it. You haven't seen that? You guys don't watch enough TV. Huh? It's a funny commercial anyway. Yeah, it's the that's the hard thing about pastoring Amish. But anyway, I watch the news, but most of the time I DVR it so I can skip the commercials. But that commercial's good. That's funny. But anyway, the idea, if you look around here, and he says nobody glows, unless you get a glow off my forehead, I don't think anybody in here is actually glowing. Right? Once the rapture happens, every one of you are going to glow. After the rapture, you're going to be like heavenly fireflies. I think that's why God made the firefly.
Yep.
People say, why did He make the firefly? Well, because of the light that protects it, it helps them as a defense mechanism. No, I don't mean that. Why did He? I think He made things in the creation. It gives us a little picture of His power.
Amen.
And you see the little firefly. And their little butt glows. And you ever seen a field filled with thousands of them? I don't know if Jenny remembers this, but we've got a field next to us, and at a certain time of the year, man, that thing's just filled with fireflies. And I told her, and I think it was just after we moved in, so maybe over a year ago, and I said, you know, it makes me just think of what heaven's going to look like, all the Christians at a distance, because we're all going to glow. You don't believe me? Let's look. Now, most commentators seem to take this as a sentiment. and not as a fact. It's kind of like you're an angel, you're a saint in light because you have the light of Jesus in you. And they talk about it only in that sense. It means more than that. And I believe it means exactly what it says because I believe the Bible tells us that. Think of that phrase, the saints in light. I do not believe that this is just figurative or hyperbole. So let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5. We're going to run a few references to see what you're going to be like in your glorified body. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we'll read verses 4 and 5. It says in verse 4, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief." Now that is talking about basically being in ignorance of God's word. Now verse 5, read that with me. "Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." Now because it's contrasted there with basically being ignorant and not seeing that day coming, so you're caught off guard, then people will basically always use it in that sense. But Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light. And we are His children. Look at John 12. Turn over to the Gospel of John. Come on now, I want to hear those pages flipping. You guys need to learn your Bible. Ain't going to hurt you once in a while. Turn a few pages. I promise if you get a paper cut, we've got Band-Aids. John chapter 12, verses 35 and 36. John 12, 35 and 36. "Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." Verse 36, read that. "While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them." What I'm getting at is, he doesn't just call you children of light because you have some spiritual light from the Word of God in this life. But it is a picture for you to understand, not only do you have that light now, but one of these days you will be that light. We're going to see another one. We will be as Jesus is in His glorified state. I'll turn there real quick and read this. You want to, you can. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, we've read many times. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Again, that's only those who are born again. "Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." Now verse 2. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure." So that tells you right there that whenever Jesus is going to be in eternity, you're going to be like Him. Amen? Well, what is Jesus like in the glorified state? Revelation 1, turn there. Revelation chapter 1. Come on, I don't hear the pages turn. Revelation chapter 1. Verses 12 through 16. I'll start reading while you turn there. "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man," that's Jesus, "clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle." Now look at verse 14. "His head and his hairs are white like wool, as white as snow." Everybody look at Jenny. There you go. That's what your hair is going to look like. That's what Jesus' hair looks like. That's what your hair is going to look like. White like wool. What?
What's it going to change to?
Well, hers will just glow more.
Yeah.
I don't think God will have any problem with you wearing a ponytail if you want, Doug. I'll let you take it up with him. Verse 14 continues, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Verse 15, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. I just dare you to sit and just meditate on that sometime. But here's where I want to go with all that. It says in verse 16, read that with me. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Jesus glows, shines, is a light like the sun. That's what you've got to be saved, because if you stand in the presence of God in his glory and you aren't glorified, you'll just disintegrate. Yeah, it'd be like walking on the sun. And no, if you go at night and walk on the sun, it won't help. Flip over to Revelation 21. If you don't think that's literal. Revelation 21. And I'll start reading verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Now verse 23 and 24. I remember the first time I got this amazing text here. Read it with me. Verse 23 and 24. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. The Lamb, that's Jesus. He shines so bright, we don't need a sun. And you are going to be as he is. Ain't that something? 1 Thessalonians 6. I'll turn there real quick. You don't have to chase me on this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 6. Or wait a second. No, there's no. Where did I go with that? 14, 16. I got the wrong reference. Oh, well, I'm going to skip that because I didn't have the right. But I want you to see this. Moses experienced a taste of this back in Exodus 34. Exodus 34. One time I was teaching this, and this elderly man who had read his Bible dozens of times, been in church for decades, and after I taught this, he came up to me and he said, I had read that over and over, and I never even thought about what that actually says. Exodus 34:29. We've talked about it before, so some of you No, because we've talked about it. Exodus 34:29 says, and it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, look at this, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. Moses didn't even realize that his face is glowing. Verse 30, and when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And 31, and Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with him, he put a veil on his face. Why? Because it was freaking them out. His face is glowing. And they're like, they're scared to death. So he put on a veil. In verse 34, but when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. So he'd go unveiled to talk to the Lord. He put a veil over his face when he came back out because it was scaring people to death. That's just a taste. Psalm 89:15 says this. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. That's what we have, a hymnal. We have something to sing about. Amen?
Amen.
It says, they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. countenance means God glows, God shines, and we are going to walk in that light. And we're going to be just like Him. But you must be in the light if you want to be a light. If you want to be a saint in light, you have to be in the light. That's explained 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's only true about a Christian. Only true about a born-again Christian. Our inheritance will be as the saints in light. It's because you've been made a saint, because you've been born again. Just as Jesus is, according to Psalm 104:1-2, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty." Look at this. This is talking about Jesus. "Who coverest Thyself with light as with a garment." You ever think about the Lord being covered with light as with a garment? And always remember, we will be like Him. If that doesn't excite you, there is something very wrong with you. I say that lovingly, but that ought to excite you. Let's sing about our mansion over the hilltop. Go ahead and stand, and we'll sing.
I'm satisfied with
just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one that silver lines. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold. Though often tempted, tormented and tested, and like the prophet, my pillow of stone. And though I find here no permanent dwelling, I know He'll give me a mansion my own. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old.
we'll close with a word of prayer, but I want to send out a message over the live stream here that if the All Balls are watching, oh, okay, that's my answer to the question. I just want to know they were alive and well in Nova Scotia. Okay, but it's good to know they're on. All right, praise God. All right, let's close in prayer, and then I'm also going to ask the Lord to bless our food and fellowship. We'll go right downstairs and have our feast of charity. Father, we thank you, Lord, for everybody who made it in today, and we're so thankful for the fellowship that we enjoy and the love and charity we have one toward another, and thankful for things that you know all about that we don't always publicly recognize. So many times people here help one another and take care of one another. And also the things that just this last week, a couple of instances where folks here were able to help out a couple of people who aren't part of our church family, but one of them is a brother in Christ and another is an unsaved soul. Lord, we just want to be used by you. Every opportunity we have to show the love of Jesus Christ to another. And when we see a need, if we can meet it, we should meet that need. We can always pray for folks, and you always find a way to meet those needs. So we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the message from God's Word. We thank you for the food that is downstairs and waiting on us. We thank you for the fellowship that we enjoy, and we just pray you'll be pleased as your children love one another. And we have this feast of charity. Feast of love. And we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
People say amen.